Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. Can AI help us become better speakers and better presenters, or is it simply a crutch? Our guest today has successfully incorporated the use of AI into her daily home and work life. And a fun fact, the first time she ever used ChatGPT, she asked it to write a Valentine's poem for her husband. Our guest today is Diane Windingland. She's a speech coach, author, and the owner of Virtual Speech Coach. Originally trained as an engineer, she has spent more than a decade helping organizations communicate with clarity, impact, and confidence. She also coaches subject matter experts on transforming complex information into engaging, results-driven messages. Her latest book, The Clarity Code, How to Communicate Complex Ideas with Simplicity and Power, published October of 2025, brings together practical communication tools and modern AI support. It includes a full chapter on using AI to clarify, simplify, and test your message. It offers real-world guidance on how AI can help speakers think more clearly, prepare more efficiently, and elevate their delivery. Diane is also a distinguished Toastmaster, a proud member since 2003. She's also a past district director. She belongs to two clubs, Frankly Speaking in Spring, Texas, and also Power Talk Toastmasters, an online hybrid club based in Minnesota. Diane is also a regular contributor to the Toastmaster magazine, and of course, also an early adopter of AI technologies, having written an article entitled AI Strategies in Public Speaking, Four Ways to Use Artificial Intelligence in Presentations. And that was back in July 2023 in the Toastmaster magazine. Now, of course, AI has evolved, but her concepts that she shares are still applicable today. Coming to us today from Spring, Texas, a suburb of Houston, Diane Windingland, welcome back to the Toastmasters podcast.
Well, thank you, Greg. I'm excited to be here today.
Yeah, this is awesome. Now, you last joined us in 2023, and back then that was episode 230, Small Talk, Big Results, and we'll certainly put a link to that in the show notes.
Great.
I have to ask to kick us off, tell us about this Valentine, and what did your hubby think of it?
Well, I actually found the poem. The prompt I had written was, create a poem for my husband on Valentine's Day that refers to scuba diving. It came up with a four stanza poem. I'll just give you the first line. My love, my life, my scuba diving king. Yes, it was very schmaltzy. And I even had Dolly at the time create a visual of people scuba diving, gave it to him for Valentine's Day, and he thought it was really very sweet. And then he started using ChatGPT to write poems for people on their birthdays.
Now, for some of us, it's become a novelty. For some, it's a very important tool. Before we get into some of the nitty-gritty and some of the details, I really need to address this elephant in the room. Is using AI a crutch, and does it take away from authenticity?
Well, it can be a crutch and it can take away from authenticity. It depends on how you use it. And like any new technology, people can be very skeptical at first. I remember when I was in middle school, it was considered cheating to use a calculator to solve math problems or science problems. Nowadays, you're expected to be able to use a calculator or a computer. It's not considered cheating. It's simply a tool to help you do something more efficiently, get better results, maybe a little more quickly. It depends on how you use it.
Obviously, you were an early adopter. In fact, the article, I went back and read the article. I recalled the article from 2023, but I went back and read it, and I realized that it's still all very relevant today. So I'm really curious, maybe share a little bit about the concepts in the article and tell us a little more about how you use AI.
Sure. There were four main concepts in the article. One was to streamline your research and content creation. So you can ask questions, find out a little bit more about a topic, and then brainstorm for some content ideas. And I've taken it much further than that. The other concept after that was designing slides in minutes, where you can use, and I was using PowerPoint as an example. There's a designer that you can click on within PowerPoint, and it will give you different options so it can look much more professional than maybe you would have come up on your own. You can create unique images. At the time I wrote the article, I had used an image generator such as DALL-E. Now you can do it right within the AI tool such as ChatGPT. And I will say it is, sometimes the results are very funny. I had inputted a picture of my husband and me to see some variations, and this was on DALL-E. We looked really goofy. There were fingers missing or an extra finger, or our faces just looked really strange and the eyes looked otherworldly. The final concept was to get speech feedback. And at the time, I believe Toastmasters either had just started or was going to start a partnership with Yodlee. And I was using Yodlee in my coaching. And it's like an AI speech coach where you can record yourself speaking. It will give you some analytics. It will give you other ways you might say things. It'll point out things like your use of filler words. And then you can also do some role playing as well. So those were the four concepts that I had covered in that particular article. Since then, I have used AI in many different ways. I primarily use ChatGPT, partly because that's what I started with. I've been generally pleased with the results. And ChatGPT knows me. I can ask it something, and it has memories of some of our previous conversations, so it can combine things it already knows about me. And I've used it to design custom coaching for clients, to help clients prepare for interviews, where I might take their LinkedIn profile, the job description of the job that they're interviewing for, put that into ChatGPT to come up with some questions, and then I could put those questions in a role-playing activity within Yodlee, and so they can practice virtual interviews with Yodlee and then with me as well, to give them some human input as well as the artificial input. I've used it to help me with some books. My last two books, I did use AI, ChatGPT, extensively, from the brainstorming to simplifying, to outlining, to creating some analogies, those kinds of things. I'll give you an example of the last book I just wrote, The Clarity Code. About a year ago, I was thinking, well, next year I want to work on some book projects. And one was rewriting a book that I had written for teens and speech class for teens. And the other was, I didn't know. I wanted something, a new book. And I had put in a query to ChatGPT to help me to come up with some book ideas that would sell well on Amazon and enhance my business. And then I, in that prompt, talked about, you know, just to reiterate what my business was, and that I've written and published several books. I listed the books, and then it came up with some ideas. I actually didn't like any of the ideas as ChatGPT came up with them, but those ideas gave me other ideas. Then I went back and forth in an iterative process with ChatGPT, and I actually set that aside until May. And then in May, I came back to that prompt. It was still there. Had it do things like, you know, what are some ideas for a title? How could I test this title? And it gave me ideas for testing a title with a LinkedIn poll, with using, there was some service that I could use to test titles. And I thought, oh, I didn't even know about that service. So I used that service because it wasn't too expensive. And then I asked, you know, what are some other books that are similar to this? And what might I have as an outline for the chapters? And so it came up with an outline, and then I revised the outline. And then I actually used it to develop the sections where I would take some of my ideas, throw them in, and see what ChatGPT came up with for expanding on those ideas and suggesting some resources for research that would back up some of those ideas. And I did have to check that carefully because sometimes ChatGPT kind of makes stuff up. Thoroughly checked the resources. Some of them weren't quite what I thought they were based on what ChatGPT said, but it got me going in the right direction. It's great if you're facing a blank page and you need a speech, you need to write an article, you have something, you need an email, or maybe you're having a text conversation with a relative about something that's a really heavy subject and you would like to be tactful and supportive. I have done this more than once because I have ChatGPT on my phone. I will put in what the person said and like, help me respond to this in a way that sets boundaries about blah, 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 and is still supportive. And then it'll throw me a response. And usually it's really pretty good. And I might just change it a little bit. I have learned you have to be very careful about copy and pasting, though, so that you don't leave in the part where ChatGPT says, here's an empathetic response that you could send your sister-in-law. You don't want that part to go in the message. So those are some of the ways that I've used it.
That's funny. I find sometimes when I'm using it, I won't ask for one response. I'll ask for four or five.
Right.
You don't know what it's going to give you.
I've done something similar when I've been the topic master, where there is a theme for the meeting and I want to generate some questions around the theme. And we might have 6 to 8 people that participate. I'll ask it for 15 questions because I am not going to like all of the questions. And sometimes I will say, you know, give me more questions like, or give me some questions that will encourage people to tell a story. Not all the output you get is something you will use. Although if you are careful in how you prompt, you can get things closer to what you want, because ChatGPT isn't a mind reader. It just bases its responses on the algorithm, which is pretty awesome, but it doesn't know like what you really want unless it has perhaps been working with you for a while.
You brought up a good point, prompts. Tell us a little bit more about prompts, because I understand is it's only going to give you what you want if you tell it more about what you need.
Right. So the clearer your prompt is, the clearer results you will get back in the response. And you want to give it something. If, for example, let's say you're working on a speech, and if you tell it a little bit about your audience, what your purpose is, maybe some relevant background. I have like put in samples of my speeches, which does help because it gets a feeling for what I'm like. You could prompt things like, you could add a goal, like this is for an email subject line. I've even done that. If you want a catchy subject line, you might have the tone you want, might want to say, I would like a casual response or professional or silly or playful. You might talk about what your audience is. Is it for a client? Is it for an executive? Is it for your Toastmasters club? You might want to give it some constraints, like how many words. It doesn't always do a great job on that, but you can try. Maybe the format, if you want a list, if you want a paragraph, if you're writing for a particular platform, like your LinkedIn, what you say on LinkedIn might be a little different than what you would say on Facebook. And there is, within the ChatGPT, there's a pre-built GPT called Prompt Perfect, which I've only used occasionally. I usually just iterate back and forth with ChatGPT, but you could try that if you want to do that. You can ask for prompts like, so I'll give you an example. I had a prospective client contact me it was an organization that wanted me to perhaps work with some of their people. And I don't even remember what the organization was off the top of my head, but I remember going to their website and looking at it and thinking, it was very technical. Like, what do they really do? So I copied their About Us page, pasted it into ChatGPT, and said, explain this to me like I'm a high school student. And so then it explains to me what they did in terms that I could understand. So you might even prompt it to have a certain level of detail that you want. You might want, let's say you have a concept, you might have it explain it at different levels, a beginner level, an intermediate level, advanced level. You might use prompts to create analogies. The biggest problem I have with the clients that I work with or that they have would be that they know their material really well. What is challenging for them is because they have what I would call the curse of knowledge, it sometimes is hard to simplify it or tailor their message or their information for the audience they're going to be speaking to. Maybe it's an executive who really does not want all that detail. And you could ask ChatGPT or whatever AI tool you use to explain this concept for an executive who has this level of knowledge and really cares about that. Even knowing that before you prompt will probably change it, even if you didn't use ChatGPT. So those are a few ideas.
What about the challenges with, I think we've called it hallucination. Sometimes if ChatGPT doesn't know an answer, it makes something up. How has that impacted how you use it?
Well, I always check. In fact, if you have, I have the ChatGPT desktop application, and right below where you input your prompt, it says ChatGPT can make mistakes. Check important info. And that is very true. I'll give you an example. I was working on a story where I had a survey and I had inputted the Excel spreadsheet of the survey into ChatGPT, and the survey had some written responses related to a story I was writing. I gave it really specific instructions. Quote at least five people, and for each of those five to pick two quotes. It did that, or so I thought. The quotes fit the story perfectly. I was so happy. And then I checked the Excel spreadsheet. None of the quotes were on the Excel spreadsheet. And I went to ChatGPT, what did you do? These are not quotes from the spreadsheet. ChatGPT said it was just placeholder quotes. I'm like, okay, good thing I checked, because it would have been really bad to just assume that that was correct. Has not happened recently, though, so I think that must be getting better.
I've come across ChatGPT offering up hallucinations itself, especially when I ask it very specific questions with answers that I know, including, I said, who authored my book and who did the illustration, and it was totally way out to lunch. But at the same time, I found it very, very powerful in terms of, you'd mentioned it, where you take something that comes from somewhere else and you want to see if you can capture the gist of it. In your book, in fact, the chapter that we referred to earlier on, using AI to clarify and simplify your message, I think that can be very, very powerful in terms of how it can benefit us as Toastmasters. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. I have worked with several clients, and often they are not clear on their message when they're starting to work on a presentation. They want to include everything. And when you include everything, nothing rises as most important. So you can use AI. I use ChatGPT. So let's say you have a general topic. Your topic might be global warming or whatever it is. And maybe you're not an expert, but you want to talk about it. You might ask ChatGPT, what are the most important issues for this topic that would be of interest to, and then you could specify your audience, to a general audience that I could speak to as a novice in this area, and see what comes up for ideas. And then there's probably some that might stick out to you. And then you might even do a first draft. help me draft a 5 to 7 minute speech on this topic with this viewpoint, with this audience, see what it comes up with. Now, I would not say that's the speech you want to give, but it gets you going. And then you can have some back and forth. You might need to do a little bit of, you want to insert yourself because ChatGPT might make up a story, but you don't want to use the made up story. You want to have like, so why is this topic important to me? What are some of the issues that might make it important to other people? And you could have some back and forth with that. You add in your own experience, you add in your own stories, and ChatGPT can help you polish those stories so maybe they flow better, or maybe you want to add an element of humor, and once in a while, ChatGPT comes up with things that are actually funny. Sometimes the humor misses. That's one way. If you're like at the beginning of creation of a speech, or if you have a speech and you're like, this is kind of missing the mark, and you could throw it into ChatGPT and ask it to act as your speech writing coach and make suggestions how this speech could be improved to enhance audience engagement. Or perhaps you want to add some audience interaction or activities and see what it comes up with. It will be endlessly patient. It will be non-judgmental. The biggest challenge, well, maybe not the biggest, but one challenge is sometimes it's just too nice. I even had written AI or ChatGPT is a far nicer coach than I am because it just makes you feel really good. And I think they might be changing that a little bit. So it's not always agreeing with everything you say. In fact, you can ask it to disagree. What might a skeptic have as arguments against this idea? To try to find the other side.
Has that ever come back with, what were you thinking?
No, but sometimes the arguments are like, oh, okay, maybe that's not such a good idea after all. There are many people who find that ChatGPT is very rewarding to interact with.
You mentioned its ability to generate ideas in terms of sometimes you're looking for an example or you're looking for a metaphor or a simile or an analogy, and it could churn out a few that you might find useful.
Yes. Some of them are silly, but you can have metaphors to explain a concept. You could have analogies, and you can ask, you know, give me a metaphor for whatever your concept is. But then also consider your audience. Give me a metaphor for a concept that would resonate with, let's say you have an audience of teenagers, with teenagers or with CEOs or general public, like a Toastmasters club.
How would you attribute if you're using something like that generated from ChatGPT?
I wouldn't. I don't think you need to tell people when you've used a calculator to help you do something or spell check on a document. Now, if you simply cut and paste completely without revising, well, that's probably not the way to go. You may have to disclose it depending on how you're using the material. But generally, if you are just using AI as an assistant, a clever patient assistant that can help you brainstorm, polish, simplify, or expand something, I think you don't necessarily need to attribute it.
I recently listened to a newer Toastmaster give a speech, and it became quite obvious that either he hadn't written it or it came from ChatGPT because it just didn't sound like him.
I saw someone give a wedding speech like that once. She pulled out her phone. I bet she was just reading off her ChatGPT app, but it can sound very generic if you don't have any of your own personal experience in there. It can tend to sound overly formal with sentences not quite the way people would speak. And the tone can be wrong for the situation or for the person. It doesn't sound like them.
Are there one or two better practices and perhaps a few things to avoid when it comes for someone using ChatGPT for their presentations or their speeches?
Well, I would say do use it for brainstorming. do use it for organizing and outlining because it's very good at that. If you need some polishing, I had a speech I was working on that was a humorous speech about a year ago. I had taken parts of three different speeches that I wanted to put together under this one umbrella. And so I took those three speeches and I actually asked ChatGPT, you know, what could be the overarching theme and how could I combine these? And it gave me an idea. And so then I went with that idea. And then I started saying, I'd like to make this funnier. It's for a humor speech contest. And I uploaded the judging form. I said, here's what I'm going to be judged on. How can I make this funnier? And then I had some ideas, you know, use the rule of threes, use, you know, some other humor aspects. Then it came up with something. Not all of the humor landed that great. So I gave it at the club, this revised speech, and I got to see how humans reacted. It wasn't just me guessing. And then I thought, okay, I need to like punch this up and I need to make it even more me than ChatGPT's suggestion. So go ahead, use it to help you get started, use it to help you polish, but you don't want to take it without putting anything of yourself in. Your speech needs to have some of your experience, some of why you care. You have to consider why your audience would care. If you have just what ChatGPT spits out, it will probably just sound very generic and not like what someone has written. You can use it to learn about a topic. Like let's say you want to give a speech on something that you don't know a lot about. It can act as your tutor. You can ask it to act as your speech coach to revise something. And you can train it with, if you have some past speeches that you've written that are in your voice, like not really long sentences, that kind of thing, you can upload that to ChatGPT and say, I would like to write this next speech in the same style as these three speeches I've uploaded. And it will get much closer to sounding like you than if you hadn't done that. If you don't like something that ChatGPT generates, you don't have to use it. I find I don't use a lot of the ideas, but once in a while, ChatGPT will give me an aha moment, something I hadn't thought about, something I hadn't thought of phrasing a certain way. I'll ask it for options. It can really increase your speed of figuring out options.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about valuable feedback that perhaps it may have provided.
So I'll give you an example of using Yodlee. 2 years ago, I was working on a Tall Tales speech for a contest, and I was giving it at the club contest. It was recorded because we were using Zoom, and I took that recorded speech and uploaded it to Yodlee and got some analytics. And one of the analytics was the rate of speaking. And my rate of speaking was 110 words per minute for that speech. That is a little bit on the slow side. I think I tend to speak a little more slowly, but conversational pace is between about 120 and 170. And this was supposed to be kind of a funny speech. I thought, this would be funnier if I spoke faster. So it gave me the realization that I was speaking a little slowly. And then using Yodlee, I practiced trying to speak faster. So I said, I'm going to increase my speed, like maybe 50%, which was ridiculous because then it was way too fast. At least that's what I thought when I was doing it. And then I listened to it. I'm like, yes, it is too fast. But you know what? It does land a little more exciting. So I'll find a happy medium that's maybe not that fast, but definitely faster. So I think when I went to the area contest, I was up to 126 words per minute. And I did win the area contest.
It's amazing because typical advice is usually slow down, never speed up.
Yeah. For me, for that type of speech, faster was better than the pace I was going. And I might not have noticed that if I hadn't had those analytics.
Definitely. Yodlee can be very, very powerful. In fact, I did interview on another podcast, I did interview Varun Puri, who's one of the co-founders of Yodlee, and I'll certainly put that information in the show notes. And Diane, how about a couple of no-nos or things folks might avoid?
The biggest thing is don't take the first output as the output you use as your own when you do a prompt, at least for speeches. Maybe for an email, that's okay. You need to add more of yourself to a speech. So don't just take what AI gives you and say, okay, this is what I'm going to go with. Make it your own. You have to mold the message that you started working on with AI. That would be the top don't, or maybe even a do, depending on how you look at it. And another don't would be, don't assume ChatGPT is always right, because it can make mistakes. It even tells you it can make mistakes.
Well, that's certainly sage advice, Diane. And if you found this episode valuable, I encourage you to share this episode with your friends and family and fellow Toastmasters. You could probably even use AI to do it. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify. And don't forget to check out Diane's article, AI Strategies in Public Speaking, Four Ways to Use Artificial Intelligence in Presentations. Yes, it was published in July 2023, but you'll certainly find the concepts still valid. And also, Victor David wrote an article called While Artificial Intelligence is Here to Stay, It's an Enhancement, Not a Replacement, and you can find that in the December 2024 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Diane, before we go, perhaps you can tell us a little bit more about what you do and how people can find you. And I also understand you had written your blog post about using prompts.
Yes. So what I do primarily is I coach and train subject matter experts to speak with clarity and confidence, sometimes getting over a little bit of fear of public speaking. The blog post you're talking about, I had created a companion of sort of a cheat sheet of prompts that you could try using on AI. And I used one of those prompts with the concept of Toastmasters to explain it to someone who didn't know much about Toastmasters. And it gave steps, it gave ways you could say it briefly. And I thought, this could be a great speech with a little bit of personal story included, if you were speaking to a group about Toastmasters. But that was just one example of using prompts. It was in that blog post. The title of the blog post, I have it up here, Using AI to Build a Knowledge Bridge and Why the Prompt Matters. And that blog post you can find on my website, virtualspeechcoach.com. And that's how you can find me. You could also find me on LinkedIn. I think I'm the only Diane Windingland. And I'd love to chat with you. I do complimentary consultations as well.
We'll certainly put that information in the show notes, including a link to your blog post. Diane Windingland, the one and only, thank you so much for spending the time to speak with us today. And congratulations on your new book and all the best for 2026 and beyond.
Thank you. You too, Greg.